Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
There are two ways to get a hold of us here at Wretched Radio. You can beep talk 1-877-282-BEEP or send an email to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Received an email from Alan, a follow-up to last week's mailbag, talking about the issue of CBD oil. It is a big trend in our country. These are people who are seeking a cure for a malady. They do not believe they can get relief in any other form from traditional medicine. And so they try something called CBD oil, which increasingly you can get it at coffee shops. You can get a shot put into your beverage if you want to. You can find it at all kinds of stores. It's becoming quite mainstream. Please note, it is non-addictive. It is usually extracted from hemp, but sometimes marijuana. And a lot of Christians are taking it, using it, and they are singing and heralding its benefits. The question, of course, that we have to ask is, because this particular CBD, cannabidiol, or however you pronounce it, the oil, it doesn't get you high. It doesn't have an addictive element. It is my belief that, therefore, it can be okay for a Christian to use it. That doesn't answer the question, should a Christian use it? You've got to remember your testimony. You've got to ask yourself the question, why am I pursuing this? And I think another question that you have to ask is, does it actually work? There was an article, Alan sent this in, from the Washington Post. Is the hype about CBD or cannabidiol? How do you pronounce it? Cannabidiol? Is that how you, cannabidiol? It's not oil, it's eol. What does science have to say about it? Here's the quote that I think sums it up rather pithily. Despite the growing popularity of CBD, the science supporting the claim remains pretty slim at this point. Now, that doesn't mean that it might not help you, but the science behind it, that doesn't seem to have a whole lot to suggest that it does have some sort of capacity to heal different maladies, especially a wide range of maladies which people use this oil for. Having said that, does that mean that it might not work for you? Who could say that maybe it could? It just doesn't have the science behind it. So why is this such a popular thing among the pagans and Christians? I think a couple of reasons. One, hype, word of mouth, famous people. Gwyneth Paltrow is into it. Surprise, Willie Nelson sings, if he still can, the benefits of CBD. And so there's a lot of people saying good things. It worked for me. Nothing else worked, but I think that's one of the reasons. I think the second reason that we should consider and be, I think, more mindful of is hope. There are people who are struggling with physical maladies, and they're just looking for some relief, and they want to find it. I don't think, as a Christian, that we should be poo-pooing their desire to feel better and to try something that is not addictive. It does not get you buzzed. Does it work? I don't know. But should we be, CBD oil? I don't think so. We're not going to be selling it at wretched.org anytime soon. You know, we sell the other essential oils, of course, because we all know. So thank you very much, Alan, for sending that in. Science, not so much. Word of mouth, huge. Be mindful. If you talk to somebody about it and they're trying to figure out if they should use it, chances are pretty good they're dealing with a health issue that has probably been causing them a fair amount of pain for a long time, and that we should be sensitive in our response. And that, by the way, we do have an abundance here at Wretched. Sensitivity. In fact, Tony, I think I'm one of the most sensitive guys that there is. And if you disagree, you jerk, go ahead if you want to.
Proof positive right there.
Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org from Vi. Can I teach my children to pray or tell them to join me in prayer even though they are not born again? My husband too, or should I just pray for them by myself? Yes, no, yes. I think that, yeah, you teach your kids to pray. Just teach them to pray. They can have a childlike faith. It may not be a salvific faith, but if they're actually demonstrating a love for, it doesn't mean they're regenerated, but if they're expressing a love for the Lord, and we're supposed to model that and to encourage them to do that, absolutely. The husband's a different scenario. I think you should be praying for him. You could pray for him out loud, for him, but you can't pray with somebody who's not a believer. I think it gives the wrong signal, and God isn't hearing those prayers because they do not have the atoning work of Jesus Christ making their prayers efficacious. You do, so pray for them, and pray for them certainly by yourself. A lot. This email is sent in from Ben. Is the six-day creation a primary or a secondary issue? I would say it's a secondary issue that could be a primary issue. It's secondary because it is not a cardinal doctrine. But if somebody's motivation for believing in an old earth position, if it invades an essential doctrine, then it could be problematic. But rigidly defined, you'd have to say it's a secondary issue. Question: should I leave a church where the leadership, they do not believe in a literal six-day creation? I wouldn't say over that alone. Now, if it becomes an ongoing drubbing that you receive because it's some sort of a hobby horse, it could just become untenable for you, and it could just become annoying, and you could possibly start looking around, but not necessarily. Not necessarily. Now, I believe this. I believe any time that you do not have full unity in a body on issues like, let's write these things down. Do you agree? Check the box or not. Anytime when you go, well, we're just not going to include that one as something that we try to get agreement on because we don't have agreement. It is my experience and opinion, as being one of the most sensitive guys on the planet, it's going to cause problems. It just will eventually. It'll show up in other ways, other forms, other conversations, meetings, programs. It usually leads to other places. He continues, should I decline the offer to be a part of the leadership team that does not believe in a literal six-day creation? I don't think that would keep you from it. But I would ask myself the question, how big of a deal is this? It's sort of like marriage. Can two Christians be married when they don't agree on everything? Yeah. But let's go through a list of some things that might cause lots of problems, like baptism. One is pedo. One is believer's baptism. That's going to cause some big problems. She leans a little bit more continuationist. I'm a cessationist. What church are you going to go to? You should really get those things worked out, because at some point they can become so problematic, it just makes it downright difficult in marriage and I think in church. Hello, Mr. Friel. My question is nice and simple. You know, any email that begins that way, you are probably in for big trouble. Thank you for saying something about the Hebrew Roots movement. My wife and I were in Jewish ministry for a time and ran into a few of these folks. As you said, they were way out of the parameters of Christian orthodoxy and do not have a centralized theology or statement of faith. Now, that email was expressed representative of many other emails, but not all. many people responded asking, hey, what's up with the criticism of the Hebrew Roots movement? So then tell me, what is the distinction then? But what is the use of the law? Why did Jesus herald the law? And yet you're saying the law is gone? We will be doing a deeper study on that very subject next week on Wretched Radio, because it's important. And it's I don't deny that it's a simple issue. It requires a really big understanding of all parts of the Bible and a Christological hermeneutic. The first century church, they had that view of Scripture. We reasoned with them from the Scriptures, said Paul. We demonstrated that the Messiah must suffer. They used the Old Testament. Jesus did this on the road to Emmaus, pointing to himself from the Old Testament, because they understood that the whole of the Bible was about one subject, Jesus Christ. If you lose sight of that, it can become bits and pieces, parts, and not a whole. And so I understand why there can be confusion on this issue. Next week, we will give it a run and try to eliminate some of that confusion. I will say this, however. Everybody who wrote in, and there were many about the Hebrew Roots comments I made last week, with the exception of one, thank you for being Christ-like in your tone. That speaks volumes. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here. Glad you would spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And well done, you. Well done. We have given away, well, you have given away, over 200,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time Is Purple? Our goal is to give away 1 million copies of the booklet. And we got a ways to go, but it's a great start. And as always, the booklets are free. All you do is pay for shipping and promise to give them away. To get your copies of What Time Is Purple, just go to wretched.org/purple. It's perfect for, say, the atheist or agnostic who's been persuaded by evolutionary theory. Also a great idea for college students struggling to figure out what the truth is. What Time Is Purple? Get your copies at wretched.org/purple. And if you are a church or ministry and you're interested in distributing a whole bunch of copies, we'd love to send them to you. Just get a hold of Al. Al@wretched.org. It's that easy. And thanks so much to our gospel partners who make this possible. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Lisa's a full-time nurse. On the weekend, she was running a pregnancy clinic in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, Queens, New York. More babies killed than there are born in this place. And she was raising the money on her own, and it's only open one day a week.
We could change that. There could be a pro-life center open 7 days a week, providing free ultrasounds for women by supporting preborn.org/wretched.
Preborn is very intentional and deliberate in providing free, loving, gospel-centered alternatives and ultrasounds to these young women in New York City. We're on it, man. It's not easy, and it's probably going to get a lot harder, I think.
Please join preborn.org/wretched in their effort to save babies and to save mommies through the gospel and stop this cycle. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org/wretched? preborn.org/wretched.
Well, howdy, partner. That's how they say hello in the Old West. Hey, I've seen the movies. I know what I'm talking about. It's also how we say hello here at Wretched. Well, except we say, howdy, gospel partner. See, our gospel partners are so important to us, they get their own greeting. So if you are a gospel partner, please know it is only because of your faithful support that we're able to produce radio and TV programs and do campus outreaches to reach students with the gospel. We couldn't distribute 1 million copies of What Time Is Purple or produce a new TV series, Road Trip to Truth, without you. You are vital to Wretched. Now, if you're not a gospel partner, would you consider becoming one? So that not only would you get a special greeting, but you would be helping Wretched reach millions with the gospel. The more our gospel partners give, the more people we can reach with the gospel. So visit wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. That's wretched.org/donate. So long, partner.
Important dates in Christian history. 1735, The Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards stirs the American colonies with many conversions and individual returns to heartfelt faith. Because of this awakening, a number of divinity schools were founded, including Princeton, Dartmouth, and Rutgers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Two, count them, two ways to get a hold of us here at Wretched Radio. You can beep talk 1-877-282-BEEP. If you're shy, you can send an email to idea@wretched.org. You do not have to be Kajagoogoo to participate. Send an email to idea if you're shy.
Got it. Sorry.
Too shy.
Whoa. Wow.
Shy. Hush, hush.
Why do I?
Why do I? I thought it was just I do I.
I don't know. It's song lyrics.
Does it scare anyone that you people are debating this at this moment? I'm just asking.
I'm not sure that anyone in the world has any single song completely memorized correctly, because every song lyric is just
a little mushy around the edges.
Still wondering about why they were kissing that guy. So
what?
Excuse me, will I
kiss this guy?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Why was Bruce Springsteen singing about Jack Daniels in the freezer? I don't get any of these lyrics. 10th Avenue Freeze. What it was in
10th? Oh, no.
Yeah, I couldn't quite tell what he was singing about. Actually, that's the challenge of communication these days. Song lyrics can be a little fuzzy around the edges, not at all unlike evangelical Christianity. But back to your emails, shy or otherwise, idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. That could have been worse, gentlemen.
Not much.
No, it could have been a Culture Club reference. That would have been worse right there. Idea@wretched.org. This is sent in from Jimmy, Mr. Friel. Can forgiveness and righteous anger coexist in the heart of a Christian? Can forgiveness and righteous anger coexist in the heart of a Christian? All right, if I had to just give it a yes or no, it would be yes, but with an asterisk. You got to have a correct definition of terms here and an understanding of what we're talking about. He writes, if there is someone who is so bad that you cannot be around them and they are unrepentant, can you truly forgive and maintain a sense of caution and avoidance? Or is that maintaining righteous anger? All right, let's just work through a scenario, shall we? Somebody, they slighted you. Do you forgive? Oh, you should always have a heart of forgiveness. We slight the Lord constantly, so we should be willing to forgive a few slights here and there by comparison. Shouldn't we? We've been forgiven much. We can forgive a little. I know it feels like a lot, but it really is a little comparatively. But now let's just say that person physically hurt you. Should you have a relationship with them? And the answer is maybe, but not necessarily. Does that mean I haven't forgiven them? No, doesn't mean that. But you practice caution and wisdom with a heart filled with forgiveness. But if somebody has hurt you and hurts you physically, that does not mean restoration, especially if they're unrepentant, especially if they don't demonstrate any signs of making this better and abstaining from that type of behavior. That's just wisdom. We don't have to be foolish. Now, let's define righteous anger. Righteous anger isn't being mad because that happened to me. Righteous anger is being upset because it has happened against God. That's the dividing line. Furthermore, we can have righteous anger when we see sin and the consequences and the effects of sin. With that in mind, that's righteous anger. We always have a heart of forgiveness, even if somebody doesn't repent. But if that transaction doesn't take place, that doesn't mean that the relationship is fully healed. Your willingness to forgive, I believe, just absolutely forgiving. Nevertheless, if a transaction doesn't take place where they don't come to you and say, hey, I'm really sorry, please forgive me for that, it can be really hard, and I don't think you have to feel horrible that your relationship has been marred and it's not healing correctly. I get that. Now, some things, they're so small, you just move on. But bigger things, more profound things. Or what about the person who does it somewhat regularly? Again, safety is another issue. But does that mean that you need to stay in a relationship with somebody who is wounding, but they're not showing any sort of change? I think you can practice caution. I think you can practice degrees of separation. I think you should get wisdom from other believers to make sure that you're not responding in the flesh. But be careful that you are not in your heart murdering them still. You can confuse righteous anger with just being angry really easily. Having said that, not wanting to be with somebody doesn't mean necessarily that you are sinning. Was that somewhat vague? Yes, by design, because you will have to take those concepts and apply them to your individual scenario. Your mileage may vary. Dear Mr. Friel, recently a member of my congregation came to me with a very troubling issue. There are lots of them. She's the mother of two sons. One is becoming an Anglican minister, and the other one who is an open homosexual. Her main concern is for the Anglican. I'm kidding. Her main concern is for her son, who is living an openly gay lifestyle. What advice would you give to someone going through this? Great question. Would that be painful? Yeah. Would that make somebody sad? Of course it would. We all know what that lifestyle leads to. It's not good things. It's not God-pleasing things. And it regularly ends up in illness, devastation, death. Of course, and besides, it's an ongoing sinful lifestyle. Of course a parent needs some comforting. But how do you treat that? What do you do? What advice would you give someone going through this? Now, I'm not talking about comforting the person. I'm just talking about something that might be practical and helpful for you. I think we need to start with the question, does the son stop being the son because he's gay? No, of course not. Does your son stop being your son if he lies a lot? No. You know, look, it's a bad sin. It's a very bad sin. There are degrees of sin, and this one is near the bottom. It's not a good one. Nevertheless, it's still your child. And you do desire, I presume, to keep a relationship with your child for multiple reasons. It's your child. You love your child. Third, you want to have access to your child. Fourth, you want to be able to be there when they might come to their senses or start asking questions again. So how do you do that? Might I suggest this? Schedule lunch or dinner, preferably at your house, Mom. Make their favorite meal. Demonstrate goodwill. This isn't sabotage. You just want to make their favorite meal. Two, assure them of your love for him or her. Let it be perfectly clear how much you love your son or daughter. Establish those things. This is Pauline. You start with nice because you do feel that way. Why shouldn't you? You're not compromising a thing. When the appropriate time comes at the meal and maybe they say, so what's the point of all of this? Well, I wanted to talk to you about something so that you and I can have a great relationship. So I just want to work through some things because I want to be in a relationship with you, son or daughter. So I want to make sure that you understand where I'm at. So hear me out just for a minute or two, and then I want to get your response to it. I don't think that I need to tell you this, son, daughter, but you know how your mom and dad feel about your lifestyle. We're clear on that, right? You understand that we think it's a sin? And you know your parents' concern that you're living in an ongoing lifestyle of sin. I just want to make sure you do understand that, right? And there's a reason that I'm asking that, and I'll tell you in just a moment. Next, I want to make sure you do understand the gospel, that on the morning you wake up, that afternoon when you come to your senses, the gospel is still available to you. Your sins are not so wicked and so terrible that Jesus cannot forgive you. So it is our hope, it's going to be our fervent prayer that you will indeed come to your senses, repent, and put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I just want to remind you that his sacrificial death is enough to forgive not only that sin, but all sins. Having said all of that, I want you to know that your mom and dad aren't going to harp on you anymore about the issue. You know where we stand. I don't need to remind you of it. You're not a child. And so it's we're just not going to do that anymore. But I don't want you to confuse our silence on the issue with our approval of your lifestyle. See, that's why I was asking you those questions. I don't want you to think because we never bring it up that, oh, we must be okay with it, because we're not. And we're very concerned for your soul. So don't confuse our love that we are going to lavish on you or our silence for approval, because it's not. Here's the last thing that I'd like to say to you. We love you. Any questions? Would you pass the potatoes, please? I understand a parent's hurt. I've seen and heard of enough parents who just cut off their kids. Look, I understand if they're living at home, it has special challenges. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about staying in our child's life, loving our child, and not compromising on the truth of the gospel by communicating it clearly and making sure they understand the gospel, but that they also understand your love for them so you can stay in their lives so that they will come running to you as the repentant prodigal. This is Wretched Radio.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thank you. Thank you very much to everybody who decided to send Bibles to the persecuted church during the month of May. Gracias. This is Wretched Radio. But hey, it's June. Can't think of a better month to send Bibles to the persecuted church than this month. Actually, every month, the persecuted church, they're taking a beating. We hear the stories constantly. In fact, I received an email sent to idea@wretched.org from a Christian in China. He was talking about the churches that are getting shut down all around him, including his own. He hasn't been arrested yet. Pray for the persecuted church, and if you'd be so kind, send Bibles to them. They're longing for the word. Freak, do you remember Safely Home, the Randy Alcorn book, describing how the church had a Bible and you would get your page to take home with you and then you'd have to return it, get another page, because that's all they had to go around? Okay, it works if you want to be a curmudgeon, but it's not ideal by any means. If you'd like to send Bibles, it's $5 a Bible. What do you say, six per month? Or however many you can, please consider sending Bibles. $5 for a Bible delivered overseas with Bible teaching connected to the local church. It's a good deal, the Bible League International. Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible. And as long as we're annoying parents, let's get back to the mailbag, shall we?
Are you saying we are annoying as parents, or we're annoying those who are parents?
Oh, I know that's a fact. I can walk down the hall and inquire of a daughter who would tell you, oh, yeah, he's very gifted at annoying. He excels in that department.
So we're doing both parts then.
We're multitasking here at Wretched. I suspect there might be some parents who disagreed with my advice about how to deal with a sinning son or daughter, that particular sin, homosexuality. I think every effort, now it might become impossible for multiple reasons, but I think we make every effort to stay in the life of our children. I can feel the pain. I get it. I understand. But I think we should be like the prodigal father. Who knows what that prodigal son was up to? It wasn't good. It was very licentious living. We know that for a fact. He squandered the wealth on licentious living, and yet the father looking for the son, waiting for his return. And if our children don't think that we can be returned to, I think we've made a mistake somehow. Even if we've had to separate, even that should be done so lovingly. They're never confused. But you know what? If I come home, they'll take me in. If I come home repentant, they're not going to shame me and scold me. I think that's a high goal, but it should be the goal of every parent who's struggling with a prodigal. Let's try to annoy somebody else, shall we? Hi, Mr. Todd.
So close.
Okay, it's Mr. Friel to you. We're struggling with church. We have three kids between 7 and 14 and we're trying to raise and protect. A noble goal indeed. We've been trying to find a church for years and keep running into the same thing. It seems like parents have stopped trying to protect their kids from the world. That happens a lot. We don't do pop culture movies and music with our kids. We try to be discerning about the worship music we listen to, and we try to have fun as a family. Good on ya. I don't know how we can find a church home when we can't have our kids talk to other kids for more than 5 minutes without them getting exposed to some profanity, sex talk, or some kid telling them that they're weird for not having seen the latest Avengers movie. Any advice? Well, I got some generalities, and this might not sit well, but just give it a hearing and consider how you might apply it to your situation. There is a spectrum of parents in evangelical Christianity. Pick which on one side of the spectrum, you've got permissive parents. What? Okay, look, if you're going to have a heroin party, just don't use the good spoons, okay? You got those types of parents. And then on the other side, you've got parents who won't let their kids out of the house. Maybe a slight exaggeration, but not that much. Or if they do go out, they try to shield and protect them from any billboard, anything. And I get that. I've been to that side myself. That's one of the reasons we chose to homeschool. We'll never forget. The girls came home. They were going to school. Came home on the bus at the nice local school down the street in our little suburban Minnesota district. And they asked us a question about a sex act. Yeah, well, that was pretty much the end of that bus ride and began the ball rolling for homeschooling. Get that. Now, there's the spectrum. Which side are you on as a parent, and which side should you be on? Might I suggest, it depends on the issue, and it depends on the kid, and it depends on the time of their life, how old they are. In other words, there isn't this or that, one or the other. It has got to be wisdom applied to the child individually, based on the scenario, their maturity, their age, what the issue is. And there are going to be some things that progressively you expose your children to that you don't like. Here's my concern, and this is what I've seen. The shielded child from everything, first of all, can become a little bit geeky. That can happen. That's not my primary concern. The kid who has the protective shield of a parent marching on before them, protecting them from any sinful exposure to anything, at one point will leave the house and have exposure to those things. And they won't know how to handle them, or they're going to go, wow, I didn't realize how enticing that was. Boom, off they go. And they'll become resentful of the parents who kept them from their delights and their sins, and they immerse themselves into it like it's Rumspringa. You don't want that to happen. The parent's job is to be mindful of each child's development, their age, and the issue, and let them spread their wings, flap them a bit, and potentially fall occasionally so you can pick them up, put them back in the nest, instruct them, strengthen their wings, and then send them on their way. Because if you don't do that and you wait till they're 18 or 22 or whatever, and you boot them out of the nest, they are just going to flop and hit the ground hard. You don't want that. So mom and dad, you got to find every issue. You got to let your kids be exposed to sin is what I'm saying. Does the 7-year-old need to be exposed to R-rated movies?
No.
But progressively, your kids, they're going to have access to this stuff. Do you want to work through it with them or let them do it behind your back? I don't think so. So what might I suggest to this particular parent who cares about their child? Find the best church you can. That's always the case. If you're in a good church, stay put. Protect them at age-appropriate levels. Don't protect them from everything forever. Because if you do, look out. Work through it. Yeah, there. You know what? Even in church, they're going to hear stuff. Yeah. But if you have a good relation, if you're the sin police, protecting them from everything, if they get exposed to something that some kid in youth group drops the F-bomb, they're not going to talk to you about it because they know that you're just going to go nuts. You're going to get mad. You're going to need to call the pastor, and it's going to become a whoop-de-doo, and they're just not going to bring it up. Have the type of relationship with them where you're working with them. In other words, you're discipling your kids, which, quite honestly, is one of the most challenging things a parent can do. And that is why I wrote a book called Reset for Parents, because that's what parenting needs to be. Wow. Simple as that. If I had to give one rule to parents, disciple your kids. Stop with everything. Disciple them. It changes everything. It's available at wretched.org. But I didn't bring that up to pitch a book to parents. Brought it up just to annoy you some more. Your mileage may vary. Dear Todd Friel, how come I don't see or hear much content from Wretched on the subject of eschatology? Very good observation.
Yeah. What's the deal?
Clint, what's the deal?
Friel? See what I did there?
Well, may I be transparent for a moment? List my theological subjects of interest, it's way down there. I know it's in the Bible, so I care because God cares. I know that things are going to happen. There's going to be an end times. I know for a fact Jesus is coming back. I know for a fact that there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. All of the events, I'll tell you, I'm a pre-trib dispensationalist. It makes the most sense for 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, which are, I think, along with the book of Revelation, your eschatological books. Well, Matthew 25 also, but that makes the most sense of it for me, but I hold it loosely. I'm not passionate about the subject, so that could be a part of it. Furthermore, I'm not an expert. I do not believe that I'm going to be the guy who figures it out and brings harmony in the body. You know, there's been four major eschatological views, but Todd Friel came along. Don't think so. I mean, and one thing that I would add, though, that maybe would challenge you in your eschatological views, be careful of the signs and wonders folks who tell you, hey, this sign, therefore that. This is happening, therefore that. Might I remind you, signs and wonders are not designed to tell us when Jesus is going to return, but to remind us that he is going to return. That's a fact. This is Wretched Radio. Story after story after story of those people who have been saved and trained and given a Bible from Bible League International.
By 12 years of age, this young boy, Ahmed, had been recruited to be a suicide bomber. He came to place his faith in Jesus Christ. He has a burden to take the gospel to young men in his age group who are sold out to violent Islam. Toddy's led about 50 young men to Christ.
That's the voice of Michael Wolver from Bible League International, sat in studio with me sharing story after story after story of lives affected because they heard the gospel and they received the word of God because of Bible League International and your support. $5 a Bible to Ahmed. How many could you send? Please consider supporting Bible League International at wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible.
It was the great reformer Martin Luther who said, I can give you 95 reasons to buy Wretched Resources. Wretched's Reformer Sale. It's going on June 14th through the 16th. Tons of resources have been marked down. Books, DVDs, gospel booklets, and a whole lot more. And the best part? With every purchase, you'll receive a free On the Shoulders of Giants by reformer wannabe Todd Friel. This is an amazing sale, but don't take my word for it. John Calvin proclaimed, it's been foreordained before the foundation of the world that you will buy these wretched resources. Mark your calendars because the sale only lasts 3 days. And whether you're Presbyterian or not, you should heed the words of John Knox who said, give me wretched resources or I die. Wretched's Reformers Sale, 3 days only, June 14th through the 16th. Just visit wretched.org/sale. That's wretched.org/sale.
So, you don't think that your sponsorship of a Tomorrow Club is worth it, huh?
One of the kids that came, you know, our parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel and she started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and the church started trying to help them. And believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking and the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
These stories are happening all over Eastern Europe. Poor villages, the Tomorrow Clubs invade. They meet with the kids every week. They disciple them. They preach the gospel to them. They have them memorize Bible verses. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. And the local church gets strengthened. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 little disciples. You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Psalm 139 tells us that God is omnipresent. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is not only outside and above his creation, he is present in every place, seeing what is happening. This is a comfort for those who love him, but a terror to those who hate him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, I'm not sharing these emails because I'm scared. This is Wretched Radio. Little scared of Beep Talk. Maybe I don't know why, but Beep Talk, it just gives me a little pit in my stomach. So let me do some housekeeping in an effort to buy some time. You know, put off till tomorrow what you should be doing today.
No, this is why we make our kids do homework as soon as they get home from school.
Exactly.
Then it's
right.
Done and they don't have to worry about.
You know, Joey, you run your household the way that you choose.
The right way.
Just keep your laws into the ground and you'll both be happy.
Body. Cameron writes, when you mentioned the show 13 Reasons Why, can you please include a warning about the content of the show? It includes much content that is inappropriate and disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
No, I won't. Todd writes, Johnny, I watched the same video you mentioned on your radio, and I agree, seemed pretty innocent. It's in reference to Joe Biden. Some people complaining he's doing it again with the inappropriate touching, what he was saying to a 10-year-old girl, I believe. Johnny writes, I saw it. I agree. It seemed pretty innocent. I was just watching a movie last night called Railway Children, an old, about 20-year-old BBC movie.
World Not War Boxcar II. Kids?
No. Different than Boxcar Kids. Railway
World
Children.
War II thing?
No, this is the dad who is pretty wealthy, and he gets arrested, wrongly accused. He gets arrested, taken away. The family has to move from their London home out to the sticks where they live by the railway. Richard Attenborough is in it, etc. It was fine. It was just fine. But the conductor, he kissed the little girl. The train conductor kissed the little girl. And I don't think that made him a pervert. It was just like an old man with a younger girl. I don't think anybody would jump on that like, But with Joe Biden, it seems that many people are getting upset. And I agree, there's a fair amount of smoke because there's just too much of this. But what is it, I think, is a pretty good question. So Johnny writes, then I saw this particular clip, plus a bunch of additional YouTube videos where he's just, it's awkward is what it is with women. Johnny writes, I don't think we can still judge his intent. I agree. But I would agree, he writes, that there are enough of these interactions that he might have some issues with knowing appropriate boundaries. Yeah, I agree with that, too. This is from Dave. On today's program, you asked what's the purpose of music behind prayers. And you speculated that it was to get people into an emotive state. I think so. He writes, I'm sure that's a part of it. But for me, it actually helps me to concentrate. You know what? Great that it does that, Dave. I don't think that's its intent, though. I don't think that they play that music behind for emotional moments so that people can concentrate. Otherwise, they do that through the entire sermon. I think it is designed as a manipulative tactic. But I'm glad that it helps you to concentrate. And finally, this from, before we have to get to beep, 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 Beat Talk.
On, soldier.
Todd, I fully understand your questioning of a genealogist's desire to relate to someone famous. Actually, specifically, I was talking about people, just not genealogy people per se or genealogists, but just people's, it seems, insatiable appetite to know their ancestry, hence the success of Ancestry.com. Nevertheless, I must correct your understanding. I've been a hobby genealogist for 40 years and will state that true genealogists are not in it to relate to someone famous to boost their ego. I don't doubt that for a second. I truly don't. I suspect many people are. I'm not talking about genealogy. Many people are. There's something about it that we find very attractive. I enjoy the challenge and detective work. Yep. My genealogy, however, is no more special than yours. Yep. It's very helpful for adoptive families. I grant you that because they can find out their ancestry for health issues. I think that's wonderful stuff. It's kind of encouraging to know, perhaps, as this fellow writes, this is Joan, so fellowette, that you had a relative who attended the church of John Edwards. Well, that'd be kind of cool. So, point taken, I wasn't intending to disparage the entire enterprise, just questioning why is it that there's something inside of human beings that so desires genealogy that I got to know what my background is. I still haven't figured it out exactly.
Because we want to know where we came from.
I know that, but I don't know why. And it could be as simple as I don't have that desire, so... So I don't understand why it's such a big deal. 1-877-282. Here we go. Beep.
Beep, 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 beep.
Richard Radio is with Tom Yum.
Hey, church sign. Tweet others as you would want to be tweeted.
Hey, it's really interesting how the left wants to have the government control health care until the government votes that abortion isn't health care, and then all of a sudden they don't want that.
You know, it's funny you would bring that up, sir. I've been asking that question. I just saw in Canada they are increasing the budget by the year 2023. I think it's at like $1.1 billion to women's health issues, mostly abortion. And they're gonna raise it up by millions and hundreds of millions more to like 1.3 or 1.7, substantial increase. Why is abortion a government funded medical procedure? You got that for anything else on that's going on with your body? You've got a gallbladder that needs to be removed. Don't worry, the government has a fund for that health right that you have. Nope, it's just abortion.
Hey, Todd, I am 100% with you on the complementarian mindset, but as far as Andy Stanley's comment goes about Beth Moore, I'm wondering if that had more to do with sexual abuse in the church, where pastors seem to be covering up the sexual abuse, covering for other pastors, versus doing what was right for the people. That's how I would have taken it. Could be wrong.
Well, here's why I think it's an interesting insight, but the text he was retweeting her text of actually preaching that Sunday in church. So it was connected to preaching, not just any of sexual escapades that need to be dealt with. By the way, the Houston Chronicle just released another sad report about 45 more pastors that have been revealed in the Southern Baptist Convention that were guilty of sexual abuse, like criminal activity. The number is pretty close to about 300 right now. Hundreds of people affected by it. What wasn't great news, I'll say that. But to your point, madam, she has spoken out against that. I think everybody should be speaking out against that. The tweet that Andy retweeted, though, was specifically about her preaching on Mother's Day. By the way, we'll be speaking to Phil Johnson about that subject on Too Wretched for Radio. You can hear that next Monday. It will be wretched indeed.
One of the places where the social gospel is going to divide churches and divide families is on the issue of abuse. We all agree that abuse is not Christian. We all agree that abuse is not acceptable. But the problem is right now that the people driven by the feminist and the social gospel agenda are pushing definitions of abuse to the forefront of people's knowledge without applying the gospel or biblical wisdom to it. So the social gospel is putting out articles talking about spiritual abuse, but they're putting in ideas that they're offering no solution for. And only biblical counseling and only the Bible offers an answer for how do we as a church deal with those issues in a way that brings glory to Christ.
You know, before we throw out spiritual abuse, and I know you're not doing that, sir. We just posted a video at our Facebook page. You can find it on our YouTube page. The biblical definition of abuse, it's any time that anybody who has been granted some a modicum of authority by God, whatever the realm happens to be, whether it's government, home, church, whatever it is, when they abuse their authority. And that can happen in the church. So there can be that type of spiritual abuse. And I'm sure you would agree with me on that. And I agree with you. Without offering solutions, what's the point? And that's the deficiency that I still see in the current evangelical social justice movement. What's the solution? Okay, we've identified some problems. Let's get on it. I'm game. We've got some ideas. What are yours?
Yeah, I just want you to know that I like you as the way you talk to people is awesome, but you need to tell them the truth, man. You got to tell them about Yeldabaoth and your God and the demiurge that you guys follow, and tell them the real reason why Jesus Christ was on this earth. And he did not die for our sins, because there are no sins, because God forgives everything and everyone. Tell them the real reason. Tell them about the demiurge. Tell them about Yeldabaoth, who is your God. Tell them about the Gnostic Gospels, the Gnostic writings that were found in Nahamadi Desert in 1969. Why don't you tell them about that? Stop playing with people's faith and just tell them the truth.
Got to tell you, Mr. Friel, I love your show. I only catch you on YouTube because I'm a single father on disability. You give me inspiration. I love your view on Jesus and the Word. God bless you, man.
Thank you for that, sir. If Jesus didn't die for our sins, then what was the point of his death? You can't escape it, that it was all about the atoning work. And it doesn't just start in the epistles. It's also in the book of Acts. It's also in the Gospels. But it's replete throughout the Old Testament, starting with creation, starting with God sacrificing an animal for the covering of sins, the sacrificial system, the festivals, the blood that was shed. If Jesus didn't die for our sins, then he was indeed a crazy man who let himself be murdered for what reason? That's not kindness and love. That's crazy. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.